Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Tonight, before I get started, all the glory, all the honor, and the praise belongs to Jesus. We're not here to entertain you. We're not here to lift up a person or a church. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus, that is the name that is above all names. And tonight, we're continuing in our series called The Names of God. It's a very creative, very original title, The Names of God. But a few weeks ago, in prayer, I strongly felt the Lord urge me to tell my people who I am, preach about my identity, because the Lord wants us to shift from being a people who know a lot about God to being a people who actually know Him. And I pray that in this series, after every Sunday, and I pray when the series is done, that all of us stand in awe of the greatness of our God, that we return to that awe and holy wonder of the greatness of your God. You have a great and mighty God, by the way. He is risen. He is alive. He is not locked up in the chasms of history. He is a risen and powerful Savior. What a great God. Tonight, I'm going to preach two of the names of the Lord in here, and these are both a tongue twister, so if y'all laugh at me, that's fine. I'm probably going to need some Hooked on Phonics after this sermon is over. But the first name that I'm going to talk about tonight is the name Jehovah Medishkim. I'm going to say that one more time. Jehovah Medishkim. That's the name right there. You see it on the screen? Say that to your neighbor three times fast. Some of y'all are really doing it. I'm impressed. That's good. But there it is right there. Jehovah Medishkim. That name, Jehovah Medishkim, means you are the Lord who sanctifies. You are the Lord who sanctifies. Exodus chapter 31, beginning in verse 13. Tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from generation to generation. It is given so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Now, in the Bible, if you look for this name, Jehovah Medishkim, if you look for that in your Bible, your King James or your New Living Translation or your ESV, you will never find it. And that's because the Bible was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And the Hebrew word for God used here in Exodus 31 is the name Jehovah Medishkim, which means you are the Lord who sanctifies me. You are the Lord who makes me holy. The thing I love about this series is that with every new name, we see God in a new light. With every new name, we see a facet of His character revealed that otherwise we maybe never could have known. Now, just to put this into context, in Exodus 31, God is introducing to the Israelites, the Hebrew people, He is introducing to them the concept of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day. How many of you know in creation, according to Genesis, the Bible says that the Lord created the heavens and the earth and everything in them in 6 days. The Lord created everything that is. And on the seventh day, He rested. That seventh day is called the Sabbath. It's a day that was set apart from all the other days in the week. And I want to show you what God says about that Sabbath. Look at this. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, that's what I want to read to you right there. Recapping this really quickly. The Sabbath day is the seventh. God worked on the sixth and he rested on the seventh. The Bible says, on the Sabbath, I set it apart from all the other names, or excuse me, from all the other days of the week. When his name says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you, that word sanctifies means to be set apart. Look at your neighbor and tell him it means set apart. It means that that day is different from all of the other days. All of the other days you can work, you can do whatever you want to do, but on that seventh day, it is holy, it is set apart, it is blessed. God has a purpose specifically for that Sabbath day. And that is the day that, you know, that they worship in the Old Testament. Now listen, the Lord was not just sanctifying a day. He was sanctifying his people. The reason that God chose to sanctify a day and to make it holy and different and separate from all the others is to be an example, to be an illustration, to be a visual revelation for the people, to show them what God was actually doing in them. Just like the day, the holy day, was to be set apart, blessed, and different, so the people of Israel were to be holy and different and set apart from the world. The way that the Lord treats the Sabbath is the reflection of the way he is treating his people. He is the Lord who sanctifies you. Now look at this. The first thing he did with the Sabbath is he set it apart and he made it holy. Now, when we hear the word holy, what do we think? Let's be honest, when we hear the word holy, we get a little intimidated and we're like, oh geez, holy? That means I gotta be perfect and blameless. And that is not what holy means. Holy does not mean perfect. Holy does not mean sinless. Holy means set apart, different, distinct. And God, through the ushering in of the Sabbath, was showing Israel, you are my chosen people who I am setting apart from the world, and I am making you holy. And the same promise that he gave to physical Israel about, I'm calling you out. You are to be separate from the world. You're to be different from the world. You're to be holy, is the same commandment that he speaks to spiritual Israel, which is all of us who have been born again through the faith in Jesus Christ. God has chosen you, and God has set you apart. He is the God who sanctifies you, meaning you should be set apart from this world. Now, I'm about to preach to you right now. Too many Christians in this world look just like the world. They talk just like the world. They act just like the world. Their behavior, their thought processes, the way that they live, the way that they treat other people looks to be no different from the rest of the world. If there was a Christian in a crowd, you couldn't pick them apart. And that is a problem. The Bible says in this name, he is the Lord who sanctifies you. It means God is setting you apart. He's pulling you out of the things that are familiar. He's pulling you away from the friends that drug you down. He's pulling you away from the behaviors and the thought processes of this world. He is setting you apart just like he sanctified the Sabbath day, he is sanctifying you and I. The way that we should talk should be different. It's getting quiet in church right now. I can't tell you how many Christians I've had sit in my office and try to tell me that it's okay for them to cuss and talk like a sailor, all right? It's an old phrase and you're welcome for it. They want to tell me, they want to justify cussing and just, you know, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say I can't use this word. Oh, yes, it does. I'm going to show you right now. Psalm 19, some of you, I know you're thinking of somebody that this is for. Here it is. Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Your speech should be set apart from the world. I know nobody preaches this anymore. I know you may hear this as legalism, but I want you to know who your God is. I want to peel back the veil of eternity, and I want you to see him as the Lord who sanctifies you. He did not just save your soul from hell and then forget you. He doesn't just save you and then put you on a pew and say, well, now just stay right there for the rest of your life until you die or I come. He did not save you and forget you. He is your ever-present help in your time of need. God is just as much at work in your life right now as when he pursued you when you were lost in your sin and trespasses. But now he's not pursuing you to redeem you. Now he is active through the working of the Holy Spirit to transform you to become more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. The word sanctification means this: to be separate from sin. I don't care if you just got saved 30 minutes ago or if you've been saved for 30 years. God is at work in your life. God wants to bring you from where you are to his ultimate destiny for your life. God wants to bring every one of you on a journey. He wants to purify you. He wants to change your heart, change your thinking, and he wants every day for you to be just a little bit more like Jesus today than you were the day before. Sanctification means that you are called out of this world, that you are different from this world. And Lord, search our hearts, oh God, and may the words of our mouth and may the meditations of our mind, may they be pleasing in your eyes. Lord, help us and forgive us. Our speech should be different. Listen, everybody else in the world wants to gossip. Everybody else in the world wants to share their dirt that they know about so-and-so. Everybody else in the world wants to be critical and negative and have an attitude. That is not the speech of a born-again believer. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to clean your mouth out. He wants to change you. And gossip no longer should have a place in your life. Negativity and critical spirit should no longer have a place in your life. He is the Lord who sanctifies you. He is setting your mouth apart for the work of his service. Anybody believe what I'm saying today? You can't cuss somebody out on Monday and try to lead them to Jesus on Wednesday. It just don't work that way. Can I get a witness in church? But I love what David said. He said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. So not just my words, but my thoughts, Lord. May my thoughts be pleasing to you. Oh, church, I'm trying to preach to somebody tonight. This is the Lord who sanctifies you. You who have been a Christian for a long time, you're probably in here with your arms folded, and you're like, well, you know what, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I don't cuss at my coworkers. Now, I may think about it. You may be in here with your arms folded. You think I'm doing really, really good. But you know what Jesus said? He said, if you've even looked at a woman with lust in your heart, you're guilty of sinning with her. my, did he say that? Jesus taught us that sin is more than just the decisions and the actions that we commit. He taught us that sin flows much deeper. It runs far deeper than just the actions that everybody sees. Sin is not just the words we speak and the things we do, but the things that we think. The things that we entertain inside of our heart, they corrupt us. And yeah, you might be in here and you say, well, I haven't cussed anybody and I'm doing pretty good and I haven't cheated on my wife. But have you thought of it? Have you entertained the thoughts in your mind? And if so, surprise, the Lord, your sanctifier, is speaking to you today. And he's saying the things that you've allowed place in your mind belong no longer in your thoughts anymore. Cast them out because I'm calling you to a new level of holiness, a new level of sanctification. I'm calling you to a greater place than you've been before. He is Jehovah Mekadishkem. He is the Lord who sanctifies you. We should live different. If you have your Bible, look another place with me, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Verse 24, those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Wow. He is the Lord who sanctifies you. Sanctification is a journey. It is a process of becoming more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. The truth is that in American Christianity, we get way too comfortable. We think, well, I prayed a prayer when I was 7, so I'm good, I'm on my way. When you got saved, that was not the finish line. It was the starting point. When you got saved, that's not, okay, everything's good, I'm gonna just check it and go on autopilot. No, 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 no. That's the beginning. God wants to use you. He wants to speak through you, love through you, encourage through you, write through you. He wants to move in your life. But before he uses you to minister to others, he's gonna clean you out. He's gonna begin right here. In your heart and mind. The Bible says, let judgment begin in the house of the Lord, within us. If you live like the world, you party like the world, you drink like the world, you talk like the world, something is wrong. Because he is the Lord who sanctifies you. He is the Lord who makes you holy. This is not legalism. Some of you may hear this and you're like, well, this is just legalistic preaching. No, I'm not saying that you have to avoid all of these sins in order to get to heaven. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect in order to get to heaven. No, no, no. The Bible is crystal clear that we are saved not by our good works or our good deeds. We are saved by our faith in the finished work of Calvary's cross. And thank God for it, because if my salvation depended on my righteousness or my holiness, I'd be in trouble. And you would be too. But because I am saved, because I am born again, because I do love the one who redeemed me and ransomed my soul, because I am a new creation in him, I don't want to live like the world any longer. I don't want to think like the world any longer. I love him too much to go back to living like I used to. He is the Lord who sanctifies you. Can I be honest with you? We don't have a sin problem. We have a love problem. Oh, I pray you hear what I'm saying. We don't have a sin problem, we have a love problem. We love ourselves more than we love God. That's the problem. Because Jesus said, I'll know those who love me by those who obey me. I'll know those who love me from those who are just offering lip service by those who keep my word. I'll know that you really love me when you keep my commandments. But church, I have good news for you. Even though we've all broken the commandments, we've all sinned many, many times against him. Do you know the beauty of the name, the Lord who sanctifies me? You cannot sanctify yourself. You cannot change yourself. Only he can change you. Only he can transform you. And I'm telling you right now, he will change the desires of the human heart. He will give you a new heart, new desires, a new capacity to love him more. And you see, the more you discover about who he is, the more you'll love him. And the more you'll choose to obey him. Can I tell you something? With new Christians, you wanna know what I tell them? I never tell new Christians, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. I never tell Christians or new Christians, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop sleeping around. I don't do that. You know why? Because what I tell them to do is to fall in love with God. Study your word and discover who he is and love him. Find out that he's the God who cleanses the lepers. Find out that he's the one who embraced the unlovable and the people that were forgotten. Read the word of God and fall in love with who he is. And the closer you get to him, the more you fall in love with him, the decisions and the desires and the actions of your heart change. They change. When you fall in love with him, you want to obey him. We don't have a sin problem. We have a love problem. Father, forgive us for loving ourselves more than we love you. If you love him, you put him first. Do you realize that every time you overcome temptation, it's an act of worship? Do you realize that every time you resist evil and you choose to obey him, it is an act of worship from the earth? Because in that moment, you're saying, God, I love you more than my sin. I love you more than my pleasure and more than my own desires. It's a powerful act of worship. It's not legalism. It's love to your creator. And by the way, Galatians 5:22 goes a little bit further. It says, if you live like the world, you're gonna end up like the world. There should be something happening inside of you. But it goes a step further and it says this, Galatians 5:22, I'm gonna read it one more time. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now listen, if I'm just gonna be honest, here's the truth. Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit. This list is the evidence that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and that you are being sanctified. The truth is that we read this list and we go, love? Check. Yeah, I love my kids. I love my spouse. Yeah, I love people. Yeah, I got love. And then we read joy, and we're like, oh, yeah, joy. You know, when the Panthers win, I get pretty hyped, you know? So joy, I check that. You're probably not checking that box today because it was a rough one for him. Peace, pain. We read this list, and we can think to a time or a place where we love and where we find joy and we have kindness and self-control. But this verse is not just saying sometimes. This is a verse that's saying that you should walk in love and in joy and in peace in every circumstance. Ooh, it's getting quiet tonight. That means when your party loses the election, woo, there should still be love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness inside of you. And even if your guy does win, oh, there should be love. There should be joy. There should be peace. There should be self-control. Well, I'm preaching tonight. In every circumstance, the fruit should be in your life. No matter what they said about you, you should be able to love them. No matter what they did to you, they didn't show up to your party. Do you still love them? You see, the Bible says this. If you only love the people that love you, you're no different from the world. If you're only good and kind and forgiving to the people who are good, kind, and forgiving to you, then you are just like the world. But the fruit that the Bible is talking about that should exist in the side of a, in the heart of a believer is that we bear fruit even in every circumstance. We bear fruit even when it doesn't make sense. And we love those who despise us. And we do good to all people no matter what is happening around us. We cannot afford to be circumstantial Christians that are tossed back and forth with the waves of the tumultuous world around us. We should be constant, anchored in Christ, anchored in His Word, that no matter what happens to me, what is said against me, what happens around me, I am steady, I am stable, and I'm steadfast. I still have love, I still have joy, I still have peace no matter what happens around me, because the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives within me. Because He is in me, I will be stable no matter what happens around me. Do you believe it or do you not? We're all being sanctified. He's trying to change you and mold you. Really quickly, I'm going to give you four really quick methods of sanctification. They're really quickly. Really quickly. Prayer, fasting, reading the Bible, and attending church and being connected to the church, these are four methods of separation. What I mean by that is when you pray, you're not just praying, you are separating yourself from the world. When you go into prayer with God, you are literally sanctified. You're closing yourself off from the world. And I'm gonna say this, prayer may not change your circumstances, but prayer always changes you. Look at your neighbor and tell him prayer always changes you. It always changes you. Fasting, it's a whole nother sermon all on its own, but it weakens the flesh and it strengthens the spirit. When we fast, we are separating ourselves from the world. When we read the Bible, the Christians don't just read the Bible to check a box.